Greetings, this is Dan White with the media book, The End Time Church, From the Cathedrals to the Catacombs, Chapter 7, No King in Israel. Israel couldn't control themselves enough to stay out of trouble. Have you ever known anyone like that? How about yourself? After Moses and Joshua, the period of the judges lasted over 3 centuries. For much of that time, Israel was either oppressed by foreign kings or fighting with themselves. Their times of blessings and peace were limited because their obedience was limited. They followed their own hearts instead of God's heart. Judges 2:19, they didn't cease from their doings nor from their stubborn way, end quote. They couldn't control themselves enough to stay out of trouble. So how could Israel stay out of trouble? How do you control the people? Maybe Israel's problem was that they didn't have a strong king to control them. 4 times the book of Judges mentions that in those days there was no king in Israel. The first 2 times involved the idolatry of a self-appointed Levite priest. Levites were the tribe chosen to serve at the tabernacle and later the temple, but not all Levites were priests. Some had one job and some had another. Judges 17. There was a man of the hill country of Ephraim whose name was Micah. He said to his mother, "The 1,100 pieces of silver that were taken from you, about which you uttered a curse and also spoke it in my ears, behold, the silver is with me. I took it." His mother said, "May Yahweh bless my son." He restored the 1,100 pieces of silver to his mother. Then his mother said, "I most certainly dedicate the silver to Yahweh from my hand for my son, to make a carved image and a molten image. Now, therefore, I will restore it to you." End quote. This seems like a weird family. First, the son stole a jackpot from his mother. Second, when he gave it back, she praised him for returning it, but didn't mention his thievery at all. Third, when she got the silver back, she wasted it by turning it into an idol. All that is kind of different. As happened before with Aaron and Gideon, this woman used her rogue religion to worship the true God. She dedicated the silver images to Yahweh. She intended for her religion to bring her closer to God when it got between her and God. Judges 17, verses 4 and 5, when he restored the money to his mother took 200 pieces of silver and gave them to a silversmith who made a carved image and a molten image out of it. It was in the house of Micah. The man Micah had a house of gods, and he made an ephod and teraphim and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. End quote. So they really got religious with multiple idols, a priestly ephod garment, like the high priest wore when he communicated with Yahweh, and one son, their son, as priest. They had the freedom to do all that. Again, they did not do those blasphemous things because they were trying to be carnal. They did them because they were so carnal. They were out of control. There was no king to control them, and left to themselves, they went wild, without meaning to. Judges 17 again, verse 6. In those days there was no king in Israel. Everybody did that which was right in his own eyes. End quote. Now this statement is often taken to mean that Israel's problem was that they didn't have a king. As we have seen already, Israel did have a king. Psalm 149, verse 2, "Let Israel rejoice in him who made them. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king." End quote. So he was the only king they had, and Yahweh the king purposely set them up that way. But Yahweh their king gave the people the individual freedom to obey or disobey, to be blessed or cursed, to live or die. So when it says there was no king in Israel, it cannot mean that their problem was they didn't have a king at all, and that what they needed to control themselves was a human king. What Israel did have was the individual freedom to do what they wanted. No human king forced them to do his way. Each person chose his own way to do whatever was right in his own eyes and followed his own heart. And that heart led these Israelites to set up their own religion with religious paraphernalia and their own self-made priest. However, then they found a far better alternative for priest, an actual Levite. They knew that Levites were the one tribe specially set apart to be servants to Yahweh at the tabernacle. Priests had to be Levites, but most Levites were not priests. And this one Levite, who just happened by, was a Lollapalooza Levite. Judges 17, verse 7, there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he lived there. The man departed out of the city, out of Bethlehem, Judah, to live where he could find a place, and he came to the hill country of Ephraim, to the house of Micah as he traveled. Micah said to him, "Where did you come from?" He said, "I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I am looking for a place to live." Micah said to him, "Dwell with me, and be to me a father and a priest, and I will give you 10 pieces of silver per year, a suit of clothing, and your food." So the Levite went in. End quote. This Levite was not a priest of Yahweh, and it's not a good sign that he was just wandering around the country looking for something to do. So when he was offered the opportunity to be a priest, he took it. The pay was good. Later, he became a televangelist. Judges 17, verse 10, the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man was to him as one of his sons. Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest and was in the house of Micah. Then Micah said, "Now I know that Yahweh will do good to me, since I have a Levite to my priest," end quote. Well, with all that religion, Micah was certain that he was going to heaven, so to speak. His intentions were good. He meant for his actions to bring him closer to God. However, Micah ignored what God actually said. Micah's religion was based on what he wanted to do instead of doing what God wanted him to do. Therefore, his religion did nothing to bring him closer to God, but only got between him and God. Any number multiplied by zero equals zero. Good intentions from a bad heart equals bad actions. Good intentions are good only if they lead to obedience to God's word. At the beginning of the next chapter, still in the middle of the story of the idolatrous priest, the phrase, "No king in Israel," occurs again. Judges 18:1, "In those days there was no king in Israel, and in those days the tribe of the Danites sought them an inheritance to dwell in, for to that day their inheritance had not fallen to them among the tribes of Israel." End quote. This was early in the history of Israel in the Holy Land, not long after Joshua's time. Dan still did not have their land, so to get Yahweh on their side, they stole the counterfeit priest. Verse 2, the children of Dan sent of their family 5 men from their whole number, men of valor from Zorah Eshtael, to spy out the land and to search it. And they said to them, "Go search the land." They came to the hill country of Ephraim, to the house of Micah, and lodged there. When they were by the house of Micah, they knew the voice of the young man, the Levite. And they turned aside there and said to him, "Who brought you here, and what do you in this place, and what do you have here?" He said to them, the priest said to them, "Thus and thus has Micah dealt with me, and he has hired me, and I am become his priest." They said to him, "Ask counsel, please, of God, that we may know whether our way which we go shall be prosperous." The priest said to them, "Go in peace. Before Yahweh is your way wherein you go." End quote. Now all this is just a bunch of baloney. This priest was not a priest at all. He had no direct access to God. He only had some religious accoutrements, but for the Danites, that was good enough. So they stole the priest who stole the priesthood. Verse 13 of Judges 18, they passed there to the hill country of Ephraim and came to the house of Micah. Then the 5 men who went to spy out the country of Laish answered and said to their brothers, "Do you know that there is in these houses an ephod and teraphim and an engraved image and a molten image? Now therefore consider what you have to do." They turned aside there and came to the house of the young man the Levite, even to the house of Micah, and asked him of his welfare. The 600 men, girt with their weapons of war, who were of the children of Dan, stood by the entrance of the gate. The 5 men who went to spy out the land went up and came in there, and took the engraved image, and the ephod, and the teraphim, and the molten image, and the priest stood by the entrance of the gate, with the 600 men girt with weapons of war. When these went into Micah's house and fetched the engraved image, the ephod, and the teraphim, and the molten image, the priest said to them, "What are you doing?" They said to him, "Hold your peace. Put your hand on your mouth and go with us, and be to us a father and a priest. Is it better for you to be a priest to the house of one man, or to be a priest to a tribe and a family in Israel?" End quote. Since the priest had taken his position because of the pay, when he was offered a better position, he took it. Reading on in Judges 18, the priest's heart was glad. The priest's heart was glad, and he took the ephod and the teraphim and the engraved image and went in the midst of the people. End quote. Now notice that this priest is stealing Micah's stuff. All this religious stuff was a total farce. It was worse than nothing, because instead of getting people closer to God, all the religious garb actually hid God from them. But this religion looked good, as religion usually does. It looked so good that those Israelites were about to fight each other over it. Judges 18:21, "So they turned and departed, and put the little ones and the livestock and the goods before them. When they were a good way from the house of Micah, the men who were in the houses near to Micah's house were gathered together, and overtook the children of Dan. They cried to the children of Dan. They turned their faces and said to Micah, 'What ails you that you come with such a company?' Dan said. Micah said, 'You have taken away my gods, which I made, and the priest, and have gone away. And what more do I have? How then can you say to me, what ails you?' The children of Dan said to him, 'Don't let your voice be heard among us, lest angry fellows fall on you, and you lose your life with the lives of your household.' The children of Dan went their way, and when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back to his house. They took that which Micah had made, and the priest whom he had, and came to Laish, to a people quiet and secure, and struck them with the edge of the sword. And they burnt the city with fire. There was no deliverer, because it was far from Sidon, and they had no dealings with any man. And it was in the valley that lies by Beth Rehob. They built the city and lived therein. They called the name of the city Dan, after the name of Dan their father, who was born to Israel. However, the name of the city was Laish at the first. The children of Dan set up for themselves the engraved image, and Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Moses, he and his sons were priests to the tribe of the Danites until the day of the captivity of the land. So they set them up Micah's engraved image, which he made, all the time that God's house was in Shiloh." End quote. Well, with this move, Dan then had their own religion stolen from Micah, who had stolen his mother's silver to start this whole charade. But this religious system linked directly to Moses. Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Moses. He and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan. So that religious system linked directly to Moses. The problem is, big problem, the priesthood was through Aaron, not Moses. Moses was a great guy, and he did have direct access to God. But Moses' descendants were not priests. That was not the way God set it up. Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Moses, had no more right to be a priest than did Yogi Berra. But it sure looked good. So the first two instances of no king in Israel are in that apostate priest example. The people had free choice as to what they would do. No king limited their personal freedom. Their actions were solely their own responsibility. No one forced them to obey, so they didn't. The other two mentions of no king in Israel involve the great sin of Gibeah of Benjamin, when they wanted to rape a male visitor and did rape and murder his concubine. The tribe of Benjamin was almost wiped out by the other tribes of Israel because of their perversion. That whole story begins with this statement, Judges 19:1. It happened in those days, when there was no king in Israel, that there was a certain Levite sojourning on the farther side of the hill country of Ephraim, who took to him a concubine out of Bethlehem, Judah. End quote. So that whole story begins with the statement, no king in Israel. Then after the tribe of Benjamin was nearly exterminated, except for 600 men, that story ends with this, Judges 21:25. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. End quote. So there was no human king with his wealth and taxes and burdensome bureaucracy and standing army. So after the war with Benjamin, the army disappeared. Everybody went back home. Judges 21:24, the children of Israel departed from there at that time, every man to his tribe and to his family, and they each went out from there to his own inheritance. Matthew Henry's commentary says on that verse, quote, though God was their king, every man would be his own master, as if there was no king. End quote from Matthew Henry. Every man would be his own master. But that requires every man to somehow master himself. With the freedom and responsibility of individual obedience without government oppression, Israel failed to control their human natures. The people of Gibeah were about as evil as people can get, repeating the sins of Sodom. Under the government of God, they had the morals of Gomorrah. Under the government of God, they had the morals of Gomorrah. During the period of the judges, each man did that which was right in his own eyes instead of doing what was right in God's eyes. Proverbs 3:5, trust in Yahweh with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. Isaiah 5:21, woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. So Israel did what was right in their own eyes, and what was right in their own eyes was wrong. And no king forced them to do right. God let them choose what they would do, and they chose evil. Ecclesiastes 8:11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. End quote. The big point of, quote, no king in Israel, end quote, is that when individuals had the personal freedom to do what they wanted to do the wrong thing. They did not intend to do wrong, but without seeking God with their whole hearts, they could not help but do wrong because of their own hearts. Their evil was not just something they did. Their evil was who they were. Astoundingly, this was the family of Abraham, the father of the faithful, yet they were inherently evil. And where does that leave the rest of us? So, how do you control the people? Israel couldn't control themselves enough to stay out of trouble. Those who would be kings themselves, those who would like to be kings themselves, often say that Israel needed a human king to control the people. Many people agree. They read those four verses with those four words, quote, no king in Israel, and they think that Israel's problem was that they needed a human king. And that's exactly what carnal Israel thought.